Here we go. Patrick, what's going on, bro? I appreciate you doing this.
Dude, happy to. I love podcasts, and I don't have anything else. Actually, I'm going to eat a shitload of shrimp tonight, but that's about all I got going on. So
you have a better night than me. Chicago dude, born and raised?
Yeah.
Give me your sports teams, Bulls, Bears, and then White Sox or Cubbies.
I don't really follow it. So I did all of them growing up,
okay.
And we were perennial losers. And I was actually born the year that the Bears won the Super Bowl. So, like, we're still resting on that Super Bowl. So.
It's been 6 months since your historic win, 2024 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest in my backyard. But before we get to that, I want to get to your backstory. What part of Chicago you grew up in?
I grew up in the southwest suburbs, Palos Heights.
Who's the most famous person to come out of your neighborhood?
Probably me, but that's not really saying much.
All right.
And I went to a small private high school, but I thought I was the most famous person, but there was a guy who used to own the racetrack who's like a super wealthy guy. So I maybe like top five in my high school.
That's a good one. Okay. And then you go to culinary school for college. So you knew right away you wanted to be in the food game, food business right away, right?
Yeah. People want to know about the eating stuff. And I just grew up loving food and overeating and the youngest of five. And that's kind of where me and Joey just have a similar big families. And just, I think it starts from a love of food. And then I didn't have much culinary experience. I don't know. I just didn't know what else to do. And I went to culinary school. So
after that, you started a restaurant, right? Taco in a Bag.
Yeah. I worked around. I just took a lot of not easy jobs, but I took normal, weird culinary jobs because I needed weekends off to travel. So like I worked at a fish store. I worked at a personal meals place for people on diets, catering company. Okay. And then me and my old business partner, we were on a Food Network show where we won the episode and we got a spot in a mall rent free for a year.
So Taco in a Bag, I'm assuming Mexican food. When I Googled it, I know it's closed now. Really good reviews. What was the catch to it? Because it sounded like it was pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, so in the Midwest, we have walking tacos. So you take like a bag of Fritos and you just cut the top off and you just put a bunch of random taco toppings in there. And that's what we did, just gourmet. So we just made the chips. We made everything from scratch.
And did you like
a cheeseburger one? Yeah, okay. There's like a cheeseburger one. There's just like a – there were some Mexican-inspired ones, but basically anything that you put on – chips like works. So it's like a really good blanket vessel. Just think like gourmet nachos in a bag that you eat with a fork.
Yeah, hell yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I'm happy I got to do it. It was a really good opportunity, but I'm a lot happier that I don't have to be the boss anymore. It's not fun being the boss.
I know a couple people who had restaurants here in New York, and the pros of it, it's cool. You're kind of like the big dude on campus, but you're working every day, every night. I remember my buddy, he actually passed away. He had a Cuban restaurant here, and he was so stressed out every day. He's like, bro, it's so much stuff. We think of just, oh, you're going to go cook. But it was the ordering. It was so much stuff, man. How stressful was that on you?
It was very difficult. It was an opportunity to open. So we did, and I think we lasted like 5.5 years. But we never really thought about it and thought it through. And had we done that, probably wouldn't have happened because – most people, when they think about it, they're like, it's just not – I always say it was like the ignorance of youth because we didn't really know any better. So we just did it and figured out as we went. And, man, it's really stressful. I always kind of had a binge drinking problem, but my drinking just got really out of hand.
Really?
I didn't really know how else to deal with it. Yeah, so I don't actually drink anymore, thank God, because kind of got to that point where I just was self-medicating and just – yeah, it's very stressful.
No shit, man.
So I would not – yeah.
Now doing this stuff while you had the restaurant, were you doing competitive eating during this or not really? Because I know you did it and then you retired. So was this the time you were doing it?
I never really fully retired from eating just because, I don't know. I left MLE, like Major League Eating, like, shit, I don't know how many years ago it was. A while ago. And I just was tired of it. And I was always available to do stuff. So I've traveled a lot around the world and done stuff. I never really fully retired, but while I was doing the restaurant, there were like here and there, there'd be like an international trip, like they'd go overseas to like drink eggs or something on TV somewhere or just random shit, you know, kind of crazy that it's allowed me to do that, you know?
Yeah. It's wild. Now, when you do this, family, friends, supportive of you or eh?
Yeah, but they've been supportive for sure, but they were happy when I retired. And then this past I actually came back 2 years ago, but it was because I was going to go to Nathan's and I just wanted a free trip. And I didn't really do so well. And my parents were like, all right. But my mom in particular just is not happy because it's not the healthiest thing, you know. So they would be a lot – she would be a lot happier if I was fully retired. But actually this past year, they knew it was a really good opportunity. And then when they found out Joey wasn't going, they all came to support me. So they are – they're the best. But it's like if you ask my doctor if they'd be happy for me doing this or not, they'd be – they're going to tell you they'd be happier if I wasn't doing it. But, I mean, what are you going to do, you know?
So. Now, on the Major League Eating website, you're the number two ranked eater in the world. Do you go into competitions with a strategy? That's part one. And part two, what makes you pick them? Like, okay, I'm going to go do blueberries or pickles. What makes you pick them? Is it the prize money, the destination? I'm so curious with this.
Yeah, it's in the past when I was younger, I did everything. Like, I didn't even think about it. If it was like a random kolache contest in North Dakota, I would just say yes because – I didn't really know any better. I wanted to do it, and it was fun. And it allowed me to travel the world and see a lot of cool stuff. But now it's just like, if it's a cool experience or somewhere weird I haven't been before, and now a lot of it's just the prize money and if it's worthwhile to do it, you know. Yeah, you go in with the strategy. Like, I used to, if Joey wasn't going to be there, I would just come in the night before and go out and get super hammered, and I would gauge my level of, the, like, I'd gauge the level of competition going in, and that way I would know how fucked up I can get the night before. But now you take it a lot more serious, you know?
It needs to be taken serious now because your name's pretty heavy in the whole game now. Let me use this example. 9 pounds of blueberry pie in 8 minutes. How do you legitimately train for that? Like you said, you used to go out and get drunk. Are you training? Like, okay, let me go buy some blueberry pies and knock some down?
Yeah, back in the day, I wasn't really doing it as much because I could get away with it. I'm a pretty good natural eater. But now I don't go to contests to lose. Like, I want to go and win.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'd be embarrassed if I didn't do my best. And that doesn't mean just training with the food. So when I did when I did the most recent blueberry contest, I think I was eating like maybe 40 or 40 plus pounds of blueberries, just practicing. And same thing with the Nathan's hot dog. You just practice with the food to try to give yourself the best chance to win. And then the thing is, you really want to go on with a technique. You know, that's like the biggest thing.
Now, are you sponsored or is Patrick going to the store and spending $50 on blueberries for the week? Are you sponsored? Do they cover that? Or are you like, you're doing that on your own?
That's, I mean, before I went Nathan's, it was always, you pay for everything and
wow.
You pay for your travel. So now, like some of the sponsors they might pay for my travel, which is great.
Yeah, of
course.
But
in the past, like, it was basically you just had to win to cover your expenses. And I mean, it is all a tax write-off, but it does. And I think this year with Nathan's, I spent like $1,000 training on hot dogs.
So, no shit, really?
Yeah. I ate a lot of hot dogs, and I still love hot dogs. I actually made them at work today. So I love hot dogs still.
When you go to the Major League Eating site, there's like 50 of you guys always switching rankings. Any rivalries between you guys? Like, I really don't like that dude. Or you see the same dude showing up. Like, that's my main competition at the blueberry one, at the jalapeno one, the donut one.
I don't want to say I have a rivalry per se. Everyone's really cool and nice. And we all have like the same mental disorder where we think this is a good idea. You know, so we love to travel. We love to eat a lot. And it's just a good group of dudes that are just from all around the world. So that's the coolest part. Joey's not my rival. Joey's way better than me. Okay. So but I'm good friends with Joey, and I'm good friends with all the eaters. And, you know, it's like, at the end of the day, you're just eating against them, but it's just an attempt to do the best you can. And I mean, all the stuff surrounding the eating is just kind of, I don't want to say it's a joke, but it is kind of goofy, but the eating part itself, we take very serious. You know?
Yeah. And you know what I heard from other people who have done it or competed in stuff is like, it's legitimately strenuous. Like, but then you say like, bro, I can crush those competitions. Obviously, you're not on stage. People are watching you. That definitely plays a factor. And how is it strenuous, though?
It's just the amount of strain it puts in your body. Like, if you're going to eat, like, 50 or 60 hot dogs, that's like, 12 and a half pounds of food plus another 12 pounds of water. So, like, that's a lot. And, you know, if you win, like, this year I won, I'm like, holy shit, it was pretty incredible, you know. But I crashed after, and it's your body's not meant to do that. And we train ourselves to get to that point where we're able to do it, but it's just never. I mean, and now that we're all the level is so good. It's not like you're eating like 4 pounds of wings and you're winning the contest. Yeah. So like the numbers are kind of crazy. So like, I don't know, it's kind of physical. You're sweating and like, you're really pushing your limits. And I mean, it is eating at the end of the day, but like there's a reason Joey's the best. He trains his ass off, but he's also like really, he's the greatest eater of all time, you know? So like, yeah, it's not something every idiot at a bar thinks they see it on TV and they're like, I can eat this. And the food is usually really bad. I mean, Nathan's are actually really good to eat, but sometimes the qualifiers, if it's cold out, like they're not usually ideal conditions. So like, say you're eating pulled pork sandwiches, just think of like the worst version of that you've ever had and then have to do it for 10 minutes. So like, but back to the training part, usually just, you're not going to make the food in practice. I'm not going to try to make it very good. I'm going to just let it sit out, let it get cold. And that way, like if the food's halfway decent in the competition, then it's a lot easier. Like the last pancake contest I won, the ones I was eating in practice were so terrible. And then once I got there, they were actually fantastic. So I'm like, oh, this is awesome. It was great. You know,
that's a cool strategy. Now, when money comes into play, people get shady. Is there any like cheating scandals or anything like really shady going on in the business, or is it more not really? Because money's involved, bro. And like some of the prizes are pretty big.
Well, I always say like you have to be really dubious of somebody that's going to cheat in the eating contest. But you're right, money, it does change people. Like, I don't know, they in the past, you know, there was people that would make a mess, but and I'm always accused of being like a messy eater. I don't really do that on purpose, but I mean, I need to clean up my, it's not pretty to watch me eat, you know? So in the years past, people have done it. And you got to really question somebody that's going to cheat in an eating contest, you know?
You go on the site and there are a few people from overseas, but obviously overeating is like an American pastime. Is it big internationally or is it getting bigger internationally?
I think the biggest market would probably be Japan outside of America. You know, so Kobayashi, he was always big.
Yeah.
The way they do it, though, they love food as well. And I've done some shows there where like the food is actually delicious, and they don't go so much for the speed. They like the 30-minute contest where you're eating like an astronomical amount. So that's like their preference is more like a, I don't want to say speed eater, but they have like a specific word for it. But that's there. And then the market is big and it's growing. Online, that is, like, there's an eater named Carbucci in Brazil. He's great. And then there's a Beard Meets Food guy who's in England. So, like, the YouTube has really opened up all, like, the markets for everyone. And the eating contests themselves are, I don't want to say they're antiquated, but they're not, it's not the same as it was, you know? It's just a different marketing thing. So you got to do that. You got to do all the online stuff, too.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Obviously, we're going to talk about Nathan's. That's like the Super Bowl of it. Before you win Nathan's, how do you monetize? Is it YouTube? Is it social media?
I wasn't – I think back in the day, I would make some money on YouTube, but it wasn't a ton. But for me before, it was always just the prize money. So, but now YouTube, that is like the way to do it. And all the smarter eaters, they take the eating part a lot serious. So like – and it's pretty easy content for them. They go for a contest somewhere, then they film it. And then they just do a bunch of eating challenges and stuff like that. So that is the way they do it.
And you were on America's Got Talent, right?
Yeah. Quite a while ago. Yeah. I did raw eggs, which people always would ask me if I've seen Cool on Loop, which I have. And like, oh, you eat the 50 hard boiled eggs, which everybody had done a version of it. So I was just kind of bored and thought it was stupid. So then I just started doing raw eggs. And then they called me to do something and I did 100 eggs, and I've done it like 4 different times overseas as well. So every time I do it, I swear I'm never going to do it again. And then like a year later, some random country emails me in broken English asking me if I'll come on their Guinness record show or whatever.
Yeah. And you're going.
Yeah. I mean, that is like the coolest part, you know. The last one I did was in Milan, and it was for a Guinness record show, and they wanted me to do the eggs, but and this was a good record. I think I did like just under 7 liters of raw eggs in 1 minute. So,
oh, bro, I love eggs. That's intense, bro. Now, let's go July 4th, the Super Bowl, the Masters. Obviously, I work it every year. I work in New York. It's one of my favorite things to do. What is, like, obviously, I can't go right now. Mike Safosnik cannot go to the Nathan's and go eat. Is there prelims? Like, you can go there. Your name's heavy. You're ranked 2 in the world. You're a former champion. How do you even get to the stage?
Yeah, so thank God, like, if you win Nathan's, if you went in the fourth, then you get a bye forever. So I never have to qualify, but normally you would have to qualify.
Oof.
And then you get a spot. And then the international people, they just get, like, if the sponsor wants them there, they'll, like, offer them a buy, like a overseas buy or whatever. So, that if, you know, that's how that usually works.
How many times have you competed in Nathan's before last year winning it?
I think between, like, 7 and 10. I'm not quite sure. But, yeah, there was that eight or 10-year stretch in the middle, and then 2 years ago I came back. So I think my best finish up until that point was second, and third place a bunch. So, yeah.
You come to New York, you sightsee, or you come here just – is it, like, just business? Like, hey, I'm coming here, knock it out.
The hardest part is loving food and, like, going there and being in New York to do media and not being able to eat, like, the day before. So, like, that was, like, the hardest part. I wasn't eating any, like, real food going – leading up to July 4th this year. And I think on the second, I just was going to go to, like, a burger place. And I'm like, I'm just going to have one. And then it just got out of control. You know, that's, like, the – but I love New York, you know. It's a great – one of my favorite cities, top three for sure in the world. And – I love pizza, and, like, that's always a thing. There's always so many new pizza places to try, and I just fucking love New York, man. It's the best.
When you win Nathan's, you're on ESPN. Everyone's tweeting about you're legit trending during the thing. What kind of responsibilities do you have afterwards? You get the mustard belt, which is, bro, that's such a fucking cool belt. It's not even a joke, yeah. How dope that is. Like, you're like, oh, he won this contest. Dude, that's a badass belt. What is your responsibilities after winning that event?
Yeah, so I always say, like, I'm, like, the belt's boyfriend. Like, the belt's the hot chick, and I just am the boyfriend that comes along. Like, I don't think they really care about me. They just care about the belt, which I'm totally fine with. The only responsibility was the next day to do either – I don't know if it was Good Morning America or one of those. That's the only responsibility. And after that, I didn't have – I have nothing. So, yeah, but obviously Joey has, like – he's more of a name. It's just totally reasonable. Like, he does stuff year round for Nathan's, and but for me, I don't think anyone expected me to win, and they were kind of just overlooking me, and then flew in under the radar, as I always like to. So
yeah, you were pretty big underdog. You were +800. Are you allowed to bet on yourself, or you didn't bet on yourself?
I was not technically allowed to bet on myself, but to be honest, I didn't even think I was gonna win. Like.
Oh, no, really?
I went in thinking I needed to eat like 60, but the unknown was Jeff Esper, who's really great, and James Webb. Like, I didn't know what James Webb was going to eat. So, like, I was like, he's probably going to eat like close to 60. I know he has space for it, but he hasn't quite figured it out. So, like, I think I just really wanted it, and I knew this was the opportunity to take it. And this was like the one title that I've never won before. So I'm like, I'm not going to waste the opportunity. And I love that I won, but my personal best was 55, and I never thought that I would ever break that. And doing 58, I'm like, I'm more proud about that and happier than winning. I mean, winning's great, but I didn't think it was possible to come back to where I was, because it was like a 15-year gap between my personal best, the 55, and then this year. So
when you're eating there, you're on the stage, people are going crazy, it's hot out. Are you looking at other contestants like, oh, shit, what are they eating? There's my competition. Or you just focus on yourself. Let me get my 55 plus. Or are you looking around like, oh, shit, I need to get to blank?
So initially I was kind of looking at Webb and Esper, because, like, I really didn't know what they were going to do.
Okay.
And but after 20 or 30, when Webb didn't come way ahead of me, I'm like, I kind of knew I had it. And then, like, once I got to 50 in like 8 or 8.5 minutes, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I've realized it's like the last 2 minutes of the contest where everybody else slows down. And then I just, like, I kind of just was in a trance, and I just was eating, and I felt pretty good. But then, like, I clicked at 50. I'm like, all right, like, we can push. Cause I think I had done 60 in practice, the last practice. So I was like, all right, I got space for it. And then, yeah, but I wouldn't have changed anything. Say he was ahead. I just would have been more aware. And I just was very focused this year, and I just did it, you know?
What are you listening to? Because I think you had earbuds in, right? What do you listen to during the event?
I have like a playlist. I like this band called Dillinger Four, but it's, you know, I used to do both ears. I used to do the Mohawk. I used to do the red Kool-Aid, but I kind of found that those were just distractions, and the red stuff just is gross. Like,
no.
Nobody, it was now like a few eaters do it, but I'm like, why didn't anybody tell me that I look like a caged animal eating like a raw meat, you know. It was gross. So
you win. You said like you're doing a little bit of media. You have the belt. Are you, and I mean this, are you just walking around New York City with the belt on or no?
No. And the funniest thing was I'm a little bit shy. Like I'm happy okay. that I did it, but I'm ready to put it behind me. But
oh,
like,
really?
But we had like an after party and I didn't drink, but I had the belt out and my family was all there and like, yeah, it was great. But I'm on the low, I like to keep stuff on the low key side. And, I was in like Jersey, like that weekend after, and my friend was trying to talk me up and it didn't go well because it never goes well. But she's like, hey, she asked the waiter, like, hey, did you watch the Nathan's Hot Spot contest? And he's like, yes, I did. And then, like, he obviously didn't know who I was, even though I was sitting right next to him. So, like, I've found that it's always humbling whenever you try to, whenever you get too excited about yourself, somebody will always put you in your place. So now I don't even, like, people know who I am. That's cool.
Yeah.
And the people that are going to get me get it. But it's not like, I don't know, Joey's been winning for 16 years. So it's like, it took a long time for him to be in like the lexicon, and now he's just like normal. I don't know. People know his name, and they just he earned that. I haven't really earned that right.
Are you trying to get to that level? Like you're still competing. You're a professional leader, number two in the world, which is insane. Are you trying to get to that level? Of, like I'm the guy. I'm just gonna start crushing shit. Because you seem so humble. I think, you really do.
Yeah. Well, it's also weird to me because like the last time around, I was number two, and I feel like it was even more crazy with the media and stuff. So I would have never expected, this is like a victory lap for me. I would have never expected this to even happen.
Wow.
So I told myself and my family, I'll give it another year. And I just want to improve. I want to get to 60. Actually, my goal next year is like 65. So if I can get to that level, then that would mean I have the second highest total ever. And I know I can improve. I don't know that I can get to 76. That's the record, but oof. I know I have I hope Joey comes back because I'll be more motivated. I don't know that I'll beat him. I don't think never say never, but
of course
it felt a little weird this year, like winning with him not being there. And then I stopped drinking. So it was just like before we just used to get completely annihilated. And it just was like a weird, surreal thing this year. So it just didn't feel right. Him not being there, you know?
How you see it's a weird thing because, like, obviously, as watching him, like, oh, I wish he was there, but on the same length, I'm like, good for him going on his own and you know, crushing it. Make so it's kind of like a double edged sword, you know, you want him to be there,
yeah,
but also like, good for you crushing it, bro.
Yeah, I mean, somebody had to step up, and I just really wanted it, but yeah, it's good for him. Like, I'm good friends with Joey, and it's crazy that for all those years of him winning Nathan's, he finally has management on his, mm-hmm. he has his own managers, and they're like pushing for him. Where I don't know. He's finally able to monetize it, and he deserves it. And I mean, every year is kind of boring though, because he just kicks everyone's ass.
Yeah, yeah.
So much that it's like true fans were probably more excited, even though nobody knew who any of us were. But I get it. I mean, he's like the best. You want to see him struggle, and you want to see him try to set a new record. I mean, the real problem is he makes it look so easy, and he's so good that like I hit 58, and I almost have to apologize to everyone. Like, I know I suck. You know, like,
generic question, but how long after competition are you eating that food again?
I think this year, the fourth was on like a Wednesday or Thursday. I think that weekend I was eating hot dogs in New Jersey.
So. Oh, well, Jersey's a good spot for hot dogs. You're not a big dude. You expect these eaters to be monsters. What's your diet like on a regular week? You have no competitions. Give me a normal, like a regular diet for you.
That was the reason I never retired, because then I could always have an excuse for being like a little bit overweight, you know? So I'm a little bit heavy, but it's like normally I do try to undereat, but I just love food. Like I haven't been very well tuned in with my diet lately.
Okay.
So like
and it's the holidays, so it's like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been eating like an asshole for like the past since I went Nathan's, dude. I haven't really been taking it. I think the goal is always try to do keto, but I never really. It's worked for me in the past, but I just am too lazy to.
I'll be honest. I love keto. I've done keto. I love it so much. Which one of your records? Right. Obviously, I know, and everyone knows the Nathan one. I went on, I looked, 20 pounds of blueberries in 8 minutes, almost 11 pounds of key lime pie in 8 minutes, 34 dozen oysters in 8 minutes, 42 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Like, you can't even fathom doing this kind of stuff. When you go in there, like, I'm gonna go eat almost 2 pounds of ice cream. When you do something like that, what kind of, I know we talked about the prep, but like, how do you pick, okay, I'm gonna go do 11 pounds of key lime pie? Like, how does that even come about?
Yeah, so back in the day, the sponsors is like who puts on the event. So Nathan's obviously does the fourth, but it was sponsored. Golden Palace had like a lot of competitions, the online casino. I think they're defunct now, but they're like the people that would pay the boxers to have like the tattoos on their back or like. So they were doing them like every weekend somewhere random. So that's where a lot of the weird stuff came from was then. A lot of it's tied to like a restaurant or like a holiday. So like there was one Nico's in Houston, which they did gyros for like a Greek fest, which great gyros, but like that's usually like where the foods come from. But I don't know, like as far as my favorite, I love the jalapeno one, that was good. And the blueberry one was really good because I was in really top eating shape because it was like a couple weeks after Nathan's and I blew those other guys out by a couple pounds, which like I felt really good eating. So that those are probably my two favorite.
Well, how about favorite thing to eat, like in a competition? Is it blueberries and the jalapenos? Like, what's your favorite thing? Oh, good. I have this competition coming up. I love this food.
Before it would have been the sweet foods, but I don't, it doesn't really matter. You know, like I know I'm not really that great at the brief food. So like a chicken wing or ribs, like
Okay.
I've won those events, but I'm not great with that stuff. But it is weird because each eater is better at certain foods. I don't really know what mine would be. Probably just the spicy or the sweet ones because those kind of mess you up a little bit.
All right.
But like Joey is built for hot dogs somehow. I don't know what it is about him. Just a genetic freak on several levels, but that is his food, obviously.
And what's next for you? Like, what do you got? Obviously, Christmas is in a couple of weeks. What do you have coming up? Do you have like a schedule planned out for 2025? Like, I want to do this, this, and that.
You know, I did a pancake contest in Vegas for hotcakes, which I won, and I was like, I'm done for the year, and then was planning on like starting the prep for Nathan's like in January.
Oh,
So that was the
wow.
goal. Or that was like the plan, but then there is a shrimp cocktail eating contest on Saturday that I thought it was going to be a stacked field, so I wasn't going to go. And then like Joey is going to go, he's going to come back for that, so he convinced me that I should do this. So actually, I cooked like 30 pounds of shrimp today at work, and
What?
I'm going to eat some shrimp today and tomorrow. And contest is Saturday at St. Elmo's in Indianapolis,
Oh yeah,
so
of
that's the
course, of
next thing. And
course.
then. Yeah, and then after that, I got nothing. So,
One last thing. How many shrimp ballpark? How many pounds you looking to do to finish either 1, 2, or 3?
you know, Joey's record is like 19 pounds, which I don't know. That's not possible. I'd say like 12 to 15 is good. It does have the sauce on there, so that makes it a little easier. But I don't know. This is actually my first time doing it, so. Yeah, today at work I was boiling all the shrimp and they were like confused or like what? And then I had to tell them and they all know what I do at work because I work in a kitchen, but they're like, you're gonna go home and eat all this? I'm like, I'm gonna try.
Dude, that's fucking wild. I'm actually gonna pay attention to that. Bro, this was a blast, man. It was completely different for
No worries,
me.
man.
I had a
No, this
blast,
was
man.
great.
And when you listen, when you come to New York, we'll link up. Or when I'm in Chicago or something, let's definitely link up, bro. Have some food.
Yeah, save my number and yeah, dude. I was gonna say come to the Coney Island on the 4th, so maybe if you can call in sick or something.
Dude, I'll be there, brother. Cheering you on, man. Dude, I appreciate you doing
Bye.
this. This was fun, bro.
Yeah, man. Hell
Be
yeah,
good,
I
my
appreciate
friend.
it.
Be
Good
safe,
talking to
man.
you.
Happy holidays.
You too.
Bye-bye.
When you're part of a military family, you understand sacrifice and support. So at American Public University, we honor your dedication by extending our military tuition savings to your extended family. Parents, spouses, legal partners, siblings, and dependents all qualify for APU's preferred military rate of just $250 per credit hour for undergraduate and master's level programs. American Public University, value for the whole family. Learn more at apu.apus.edu/military.